This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so let us turn to this week's Parsha, Parshas Mikates. Now, what we're going to do tonight, there are four or five ideas that please God will get through. The first two are solely dedicated to Parshas Mikates, and then we're going to focus on the Haftarah of Parshas Mikates. It's a very rare Haftarah. It's a beautiful story, beautiful Haftarah, but rarely do we read it, because normally Shabbos Chanukah trumps, or it's sometimes Parshas Mikates falls on Rosh Chodesh or Erev Rosh Chodesh. So it's very unusual. I think I saw 6 times in 70 years we get to read this Haftarah. So we're going to spend a bit of time looking at this fantastic Haftarah. But let's begin. Paragraph one in this week's Parsha. If you want the handout, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll happily send you the handout in this Hashem. So where are we up to? There is a famine in Eretz Yisrael. The Shvatim are sent down by Yaakov Avinu to get food. They go down to Mitzrayim. They encounter their brother Yosef. Of course, they don't recognize him. He recognizes them. And they get a very hostile reception. He accuses them and he challenges them. And he gives them food, but he takes Shimon hostage. When he hears that they have a younger brother, Binyamin, of course, he insists that he sees the younger brother to sort of verify their story. And he takes Shimon hostage. And then the Shvatim have got to go back and break the bad news to their father that A, Shimon has been taken hostage, and B, that he wants to see Binyamin, and you're not going to get Shimon back unless he sees Binyamin. And Yaakov Avinu's response is, of course, he's very sad, but there's something very troubling with some of the words he uses. Take a look. The first box. Vayoyme aleihem Yaakov Avihem. Their father Yaakov responds to the Shvatim, Oisi shikaltem. I have been bereaved. Yosef enenu. Yosef, of course, is no longer, says Yaakov Avinu. For Shimon enenu. Now Shimon is gone. Ves Binyamin tikhu. Now you're going to take Binyamin. Olai hoyu chulono. Which literally means all these troubles are on me. Which is a strange expression to use. Of course, the troubles are going to fall on Yaakov. What did he mean by that? Olai hoyu chulono. Isn't that obvious? These words trouble the Vilna Gaon, and he makes a magnificent observation. Look at this. V'lichayra, says the Kol Eliyahu, Zel Muyuta, these words, Olai Hoyu Chulona, these troubles are going to be on me, seem unnecessary. V'lichayra Zel Muyuta, Ki Milo Yeida Shehatzah Shehad Abonin, Hu Ala'av, don't we realize that the parents are going to feel the pain of losing children more than anybody else? Ulmi Yichav Yosef Emenu, Who's going to be in pain more than Yaakov Avinu? Omno. Yeshleimar to ha'inyan kachu. Perhaps this is the idea. To kasherot so Rivka imenu lishlech is Yaakov. When Rivka wanted to send Yaakov, lekabel habrochas mi Yitzchok. Remember the story. Esav has gone out to find to hunt, to bring back the meat for Yaakov, for Yitzchok. And Rivka overhears what's going on, quickly intercedes, Al Piruach HaKodesh, and she sends Yaakov in to get the brachas. V'choshash Yaakov pen yekalel Esav aviv. And Yaakov is worried. Maybe his father Yitzchok will find out that he is not Esav, and he'll curse him. Omrei lov Rivka. So Rivka said to Yaakov, Olai kilos chobni. I take it on my shoulders. Says the Vilna Gaon, again, the Kol Eliyahu is not written by the Vilna Gaon, it's written by his Talmidim, who later recorded his Divrei Torah. If you take these words of Rivka literally, he won't curse Yaakov, then you've got a difficulty. That Yitzchok won't curse you, Yaakov Avinu. So what does she mean? Ki Rivka hedia li Yaakov. Rivka was telling Yaakov, Shelo yavoyu olav tzoros ki im gimel elu. Rivka is telling Yaakov, look, I'm telling you, Al pi ruach hakodesh, that you, Yaakov, are going to encounter three difficulties in your life, haramuzim b'milas olai, which are hinted to in the word olai. What are they? Tzoros Esav, the difficulty that Yaakov had all the years with Esav. Soras Lavon, the 20 years he was battling with Lavon, and Soras Yosef, the of Nebuch, the 22 years that he was bereft of Yosef. Umilas Olai, Rosh HaTevas, stand or an acronym for Olai, Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. V'zeh Shom Yaakov Avinu, Olav HaShom. And that's what Yaakov Avinu said. That's what he meant in his response. Eich tikchu es Binyamin. How can you take Binyamin? Halei Olai hoyu kulono. The Olai kulono, Rotzuloyma, Halo imi hoydia li b'ruach HaKodesh, shelo yavo Olai tzoros rak einu. All I'm going to have these three difficulties and no more. Haramuzim b'milas Olai, b'lo Yosef. So therefore, Esav, I understand. Lavan, I understand. Yosef, I understand. But I wasn't meant to get more than that. Rak achakach, kasha hishivwe love Shimon, when Shimon was returned to Yaakov Avinu. Or Binyamin lo yitzdar aleim rak zman mut, and Binyamin was only taken away for a relatively short time. Ozrov yuchiach shadovo emeshoi v'peimo. That her mother was indeed right, and it was really just these three tzaros were the main tzaros of the life of Yaakov Avinu. Avol nikoidim hoyim isoinin alzeh, but whilst he was in it, and there was the possibility of losing Shimon and Binyamin, he expressed, Olai hoyu chulona, it's just Olai that I have to suffer, not more than that. So a fabulous insight of the Vilna Gaon. Let's move on. So they come back to Yosef, and they get provision, and they head off back to Yaakov Avinu. But on their way back, of course, the kais, the goblet, was planted in one of the bags, in the bag of Binyamin. And the Egyptian police run after them. And they inspect and they check all the sacks. And they eventually find the kais in the bag of Binyamin. And let's take a look at the pasuk. Vayomre lov, when they're accused of stealing the goblet, the shlotim say back to them, We wouldn't have done this. And then they make one of the 10 Kal Vachomers in the Torah. Rashi tells us, if we already returned, when last time when we went back, we found a goblet belonging to the king's palace, the Pharaoh's palace, we returned it. Would we entertain stealing something? Obviously not. Now here it comes. Pasuk Tes in Perik Mendalet. They then say, whoever's bag you find this case, this cup, he should die. So they give a klala to whoever allegedly stole this case, whoever's bag it's found. Now, we know this seems a little bit like an echo of what took place in Parshas Vayetze. But if we remember from a few weeks ago, when Lavan is running after Yaakov and his whole family, he says, he accuses them of stealing his idols. And Lavan and Yaakov is unaware that Rachel had indeed taken them. And Yaakov says this, Vayan Yaakov ayomel Lavan, ima shetimtso eselokecho lo yichya. You found your, whoever stole your idols, wherever you find them, then that person lo yichya won't live. But lo yoda Yaakov ki Rachel gnavosam. And Yaakov was not aware that Rachel, of course, had taken them. And Rashi tells us in that pasuk lo yichya, says Rashi, may oisa klala meisa Rachel baderech. Because of that klala, Rachel imenu nebuch dies because of that. So I heard a great question. My chavrusa, Alan Becker, told me a great question that he heard. He actually heard it Chanukah time. He told me, nearly 30 years ago, he was learning in the Mir, in Rav Osher Ariela's shir, and Rav Osher in the afternoon said that the boys go home, they light their menorahs, and then they all go back for Rav Osher's shir at 6 o'clock. So he was going back to the Mir, and he was in those vans and the tramp, and they go back, and someone told him this story, this pshat. He asked him the following question. You see that with Parashat Vayetze, that when Yaakov Avinu cursed whoever has stolen the trophim, the Avodah Zorah of Lavan, would die. And that's indeed what happened. So how come in this week's parasha, when there is a klala against Binyamin, in whose bag the goblet was found, why didn't he die? The pasuk is very clear. So the answer he was given is a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei Omid Bei says, well-known Gemara, there are four people who died Be'itzav shel nachash. What does that mean? Rashi says be'itzav shel nachash is ba'atzos v'shel nachash sehisi lechavo. But because of the advice that nachash, or he persuaded Chava to eat from the tree or to partake of the tree, v'lo b'chet acher shelo chotu. In other words, they didn't sin. There are four people who have lived in this world who have never ever sinned. Who are those four people? They died be'itzav shel nachash only because there was a gezeira of misa in this world, but for no other reason. They lived this whole life without sinning. Who are those four people? Ve'elu, hence says the Gemara in Shabbos, Nun Heim and Beis, Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avi David, Ve'kolev ben David. Four people. Binyamin, Amram, the father of Moshe, Yishai, and Kolev. So what's going on? What is a klola? A klola is, how does it work? A klola simply is that you're in the spotlight. There is Midas Hadin sort of zooming in on you. And sometimes when the Midas Hadin sort of is that you're under the spotlight, not everyone can cope with that level of scrutiny. You know, when you have a rainbow, we know that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the world. What does the rainbow represent? You have light shining through the rain. It's broken down into seven colors. That's why you have the magnificent rainbow. What does that represent? That it represents Midas Hadin, because that's what Midas Hadin is. You're on the spotlight and your acts, your behavior are scrutinized in great detail. And not everyone can withstand that. But if you're one of the people who have no chatoim whatsoever, then you can withstand it. So yes, there was a klala on Binyamin, but he was put under the spotlight, but he was found to be absolutely clean. He was squeaky clean. And therefore he didn't succumb to this klala because he had done nothing wrong that the spotlight would have picked up on. And therefore, that's perhaps the difference. Okay, let's press on. Let's turn now to this very rare haftarah of Parshas Miketz. Like I said, unusual. Normally, Parshas Miketz is Shabbos Chanukah, and we read one of the Chanukah haftarahs, or it's Rosh Chodesh or Erev Rosh Chodesh, and we only get to read it apparently only six times in 70 years, and this year, Mitzvah Hashem is one of them. So, what is the story? Well, the haftarah begins with Shlomo HaMelech. He is a newly appointed king. He's young. He's 12 years old, and he wakes up by Yikat Shlomo v'hinei chalom. He wakes up, and it was a dream. Now, this is the psukim earlier tell us of the famous dream of Shlomo HaMelech, and this is not part of the haftarah. But just by the way, about that dream, there's a fabulous insight of Dainerin Treish to have a refu Shlomo. That what is the dream? The dream is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the young, newly appointed king and says to him, what is it you request, young Shlomo HaMelech? I'll give it to you. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And Shlomo HaMelech famously says that he wants a lev shemea. He wants a wise heart to judge the people. He asks for chochma. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so impressed with his response that he rewards him with everything. He gives him everything what he wanted for. He wanted to he didn't ask to vanquish the enemy. He didn't ask for longevity. He didn't ask for wealth. He asked for chochma and Torah to be able to judge and to be a great leader. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him everything. I asked Dain Erentro, if you go to many people and ask them, do you want wealth or wisdom? One hopes that many people would respond. They would want wisdom over wealth. So what was so impressive about Shlomo HaMelech? Says Dain Erentro, an interesting insight, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Shlomo HaMelech this request, and his response was b'chaloyim halayla, in the middle of a dream. In a dream, when you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no pretense. It is your deepest, most genuine desire that is going to be articulated. And since that was what was articulated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that clearly represents an expression of his deep and true desire, and therefore he was rewarded not just with chachma, but with everything else. Okay, now the haftarah continues with the famous story of the two women who come to Shlomo HaMelech with this din Torah. They're fighting over this young baby. Now, let's take a look at the psukim. Oz tovoyna shtayim noshim zoynes el haMelech va'atom tamod lefonov. They come and stand in front of the king. My master, my king. We both live in the same house. and we gave birth. And after I gave birth on day three, the other lady also gave birth. We were both in the house. It's just the two of us in the house. And Nebuch, this lady, she slept and she her baby died. And she got up in the middle of the night. And she kidnapped my son, Me'etzli. I was sleeping. And she took the baby and she put it in my chest. She took my baby who was resting with me and she switched it. And she's now got the living baby and she's given the dead baby, which is not my baby, she's given it to me. And I got up in the morning Lenika to feed the baby. And I discovered that he had died. This is not my child. But the other woman denied it, etc., etc., etc. The king and the case was put in front of the melech, and the melech, Shlem HaMelech, in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, he repeats the claims to make sure everyone's understood it. And then, in a moment of enormously high drama, Shlem HaMelech says, "K'chuli cherev, bring me a sword." Vayovo acherev, if the melech, they bring a sword. And famously, Shlem HaMelech says, "Vayoyim HaMelech, gizru es hayelet hachai l'shnayim, cut the living child in half. Utnu es hachatzi l'achas, ves hachatzi l'achas. Give half to one mother and half to the other mother." And the real mother, the mother of the living child, suddenly screamed out and said, "No, don't kill the child." Because her compassion was aroused. "Don't kill the child, give it to the other lady. Don't kill him." And the Zosomeris, and the other one said, "No, you're not going to have him. I'm not going to have him. Gezeiru, cut him in half." Vayan HaMelech and Shlem HaMelech suddenly saw the response of these two ladies. Give the living child to the real mother, the compassionate mother. Because she's the real mother. And then, last possible, the Haftorah. Vayishmu Kol Yisrael et Hamishpat. Everyone heard. Vayiro mipnei HaMelech hiro ki chochmas elokim bekibur lasos mishpat. They were all in awe of Shlem HaMelech with this wonderful Psak Halacha. So two insights I'd like to share with you. One is an unbelievable Me'iri. A Me'iri in Yevam Mustaf Yud Zayinu base, and this is brought by other people as well, but I've extracted it on the sheet from the Me'iri. This, of course, is a very difficult case to understand. A few questions. Question number one is, wherein lies the Chochmah of Shlem HaMelech? If you or I were witnessing this and you saw the reaction of these two ladies, then you would also realize that the mother who expressed her natural maternal compassion, she is the mother of the living child. And clearly the other woman is not. So isn't it, you know, fairly obvious? And second of all, what is the motive? What is going on? The lady who unfortunately had her child died, what is her motive and what led her to make this strange comment that, "No, this child is going to die. You're not going to get her. I'm not going to get her. Better the child be killed." Who on earth would say such a thing? So it's a very difficult story to understand. So let me share with you an insight of the Me'iri, brilliant and fascinating observation. There's a Medrash in Koheles Rabbah. I've got it here in paragraph B. Who were these women? So the Medrash brings three opinions. The Medrash says, "Rav Meir Omer Ruchos Hoyu, they were spirits. Rabban and Omri Yevomos Hoyu, they were Yevomos, which I'll explain in a minute. And Rav Simon B'Shem Rishu Omer Zonus Mamish Hoyu, they were literally Zonus, which means they were women of ill repute. They were prostitutes, and that's why they were in the same house, etc., etc." According to the Rabban, they were Yevomos. Now the Me'iri says, more than just being Yevomos, they were actually a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Let's take a look at the Me'iri. These two ladies were a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And the daughter-in-law is the terrible criminal in this situation. The mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, their husbands died without children. Other, Ela Elu Hashnayim, apart from these two young babies who were born to the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, they had no other children. And their two husbands died. Now, what happened in reality? The daughter-in-law's child died. Now, if that's the case, she is now a Yavama. What does that mean? That her husband has died without leaving children, because as the Miri explains, that if a child dies, he's got a din of a nefel, and therefore that does not count as progeny for Yibum purposes, and she has to do Yibum. Now, who is she going to do Yibum with? Her dead husband's brothers, well, there is only one. Who is that? The child who is born to her mother-in-law. Because the child born to her mother-in-law is, of course, her husband's brother. But he's just been born. So she's going to have to wait 13 years until this child is a gadol, is of age, where he could do either yibum or more likely chalitza, to release this daughter-in-law that she is free to marry. As the Meiri says, she's going to be tisage in Yud Gimashonim. She's going to be an aguna for 13 years. So when her child unfortunately passed away, she realized she's in a real predicament, because now she's got to do chalitza with her brother-in-law, her dead husband's brother, i.e. the child of this the mother-in-law, but she's going to have to wait 13 years. It's a long time. So what does she do? She switched her baby with the other baby. That this is her child. And now she exempts herself from Yibum on two scores. Number one, because now she says that I've got a child. And if she's got a child, then there was no Zika for Yibum, and she's free to get married because her husband did not die childless. And furthermore, the child, allegedly, of the mother-in-law had died, so there's no Yovam. There's no brother-in-law in the story anyway. So she is free to get remarried. That was her motive. And when Shlomo HaMelech says, Gizres hayelet hachai, cut the child into two, smecha, she was okay with that. She didn't mind. Because that way the child will be out of the picture. She would not be trapped for 13 years in this situation. She'll be able to get remarried beheta in a way which was muta. And Shlomo HaMelech picked up on this. He discovered this ruse. He understood what was going on, and therefore returned this child to the mother-in-law. So phenomenal interpretation of the Meiri to explain what is really going on. Let me conclude with one other interpretation, and that is found in the writings of the Sichas Musa, of course, of Chaim Shmulevitz. This is Maimon Yud Beis in Omud Memtes. A fascinating insight as ever. Says, let's jump in. It's the penultimate box on the sheet, halfway through, paragraph beginning Omnom, the last three lines of that penultimate box. Omnom. Zu hoysa chochma shleima. This was the chochma of Shlomo HaMelech. She yeda she ha'odom b'shas ha'chet b'matzah shel nefila. An amazing, amazingly powerful psychological insight. When a person has done a chet, they are in a very vulnerable situation. They're in a matzah shel nefila, they're on the down. Of a matzah shel nefila, and when a person has sinned and is on a slippery slope downward, mu'ed hu lipalat atzayim. He can now fall all the way down to the very, very depths. When this lady, Rachman Islan, she lost her own child. It's, of course, a traumatic experience. And she then did something which was terrible. She kidnapped the other baby, switched the babies. When she made that terrible, that crime of kidnapping the child and switching the babies, he taskim b'tayma g'zeiru. She can then do something even worse. She can say, kill the child. She can agree to that. When a person has done a chet and has done a crime, then that sort of opens up a Pandora's box where you can slip down to the very depths. And therefore, Shlomo HaMelech says, the Sichas Musa of Chaim Shmulevitz therefore makes the observation. How could that lady, this daughter-in-law, how could she make that terrible declaration that rather kill the child, cut him in half, that neither of us gets him? Because the answer is, when a person steals or does an avera, then that opens a terrible slippery slope, and you can really fall to the very depths. And you see that somewhere else, says Chaim Shmulevitz. You see that with Chiel. Chiel built Yericho in he ignored the klala of Yeshua. The pasuk says in Melachim Aleph Perek Tezayin, Bono Chiel es Yericho. And the pasuk says, "Ba'aviram b'cher yosto," with Aviram his b'cher, he set the foundations of his skuk zira hitzid laseho. What does that mean? Rashi explains over there, "Kshe yosto," when he set the foundations of Yericho, meis b'nei b'cher, his b'cher died. The kovar v'holach, the kovar kol bono, and then Chiel carried on and buried all his children as he continued building Yericho, at shemeso achron ba'tzavus delosos, until the last youngest child died, when he put up the gates of the city and he finished it off. The lechayra tamua, says Ruchaim Shmulevitz, how bizarre, how strange. Hari merubim rachme ho'av al bonov. Parents love their children desperately. Ve'echze hechza hisachzer kolkach. How could Chiel, this father, be so cruel to his children? Sheu koyve v'holich v'roya ech miskayim, miskayim dva Hashem b'yad Yeshua. He is seeing the fulfillment of the klola, of the curse that a person who rebuilds Yericho, his children will die. Or becholzo is ein hu chodal milivno is Yericho, and that doesn't stop him. Ve'echi tochein sheti Yericho chashuv kolkach. How can it be that he's so distorted that the building of Yericho is so important? At sheroya be'einov shebonov meisim, that he sees with his own eyes that his children die b'zeh chazeh, be'einov marpen, he doesn't become weak. Afkan mevuah hayesoy tamah. This is an exact application of the above principle. She'ein gvul there is no limit to how low a person can slip when he's on a downward spiral. Unbelievable. So you see, that's a very big musa. It's a powerful musa that a person can be in a state of sadness, of depression, he's done a chait, whatever it may be. One has to sort of keep track on it. One has to sort of put his foot in the draw a line and say, Ad kan, and not to succumb and not to go down that slippery slope. And that really is what happened with the daughter-in-law, this Isha, who said that strange expression that she should rather the child to be killed than the other person to get it. Remarkable insights, and that was what we see with Chiel. So let's quickly just summarize the ideas that we shared this evening. The first idea from the Vilna Gaon, what did Yaakov Avinu mean when he said, Olai hoyu chulona, when he found out that they've taken Shimon hostage, they want to take Binyamin, Olai hoyu chulona, what did he mean by that? Says the Kol Elio, is referring to what his mother Rivka told him, you're going to have three troubles in your life, three main troubles, Olai, Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. And therefore he expressed bewilderment, how come Binyamin, Shimon, that wasn't part of the plan? And it came true, his mother, of course, Baruch HaKodesh, was right, and Shimon was returned, and Binyamin was only taken from him for a relatively short period of time. And indeed, the three main challenges he had was indeed Olai, Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. Then we ask the Kasha, how come with Rachel, Yaakov's klala of Ima Shetimtso Es Elohecho Lo Yichye, that brought about the death. And we also klala Mesa Rachel Baderech, and yet the klala against Binyamin, whoever in whoever's bag the goblet will be found, Binyamin didn't die. How come? The answer is, the Gemara in Shabbos says that Binyamin was one of the four people who lived a whole life without sinning. And he only died because of the klala of the nachash, but otherwise he wouldn't have died. And therefore, when the spotlight was on him, he was squeaky clean, it didn't show up anything untoward. And then we have the insights of the Haftorah of Miketz, this very rare Haftorah, the first insight, which just comes in the Pesukim immediately before this Haftorah, that Shlomo HaMelech woke up, Vayokot Shlomo, there was a dream. The idea of Dayan Eretz, what was so special about the request of Shlomo HaMelech? The answer is, it was B'chalom HaLaila. And that is therefore an expression of his deep and true desire to have Chochmah, to be a great leader and judge of Klal Yisrael. Then we had the interpretation of the Me'iri, that fabulous interpretation, explaining the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, how the daughter-in-law, they were both Yevamos, and therefore she wanted to switch to make sure that she wouldn't be an Aguna for 13 years. And her plot was discovered by Shlomo HaMelech, And then you have the idea of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the slippery slope of sin, that Shem HaMelech understood that only someone who had sinned could fall so low as to prefer the child to be killed than to be returned to the right mother. And he sees that with Chiel when he rebuilt Yericho as well. So it's some very powerful and important ideas for this week's parasha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.